Hello, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Mary, and welcome to From the Heart.
Orlando is widely known for its tourist spots and attractions, but many people don't know about its thriving arts community.
We are excited to introduce to you talented and passionate artists who shape our arts community. How do they create and why? And how can Orlando benefit from an even greater arts presence?
On each episode, we'll meet guests who are influential leaders and artists who are truly making a difference.
From the Heart.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Joshua. Welcome home.
Oh, it's good to be home.
How was your trip to our capital?
It was absolutely wonderful. It really was. You know, it was a really cool time to be in the capital because, I don't know if you know, but this weekend, the African American History Museum and Culture Museum opened. And of course, Obama spoke, and the crowds were just overwhelmingly large on Saturday when I came in. But it was just a neat time to be there. But then literally the next day, right down the street from me, there was a huge protest. You know, so there was just, it was just a lot of energy, good
Welcome
and
to
bad.
Our capital.
Yeah, it really, really was. But I was there for the National Center for Creative Aging Conference. Mm-hmm. And this was a national conference of art leaders coming together to talk about really this creative aging movement of how do we make the arts applicable to our growing population of 60 and older. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to talk a little bit about the things that we're doing, like with our choir for people with Alzheimer's and dementia,
yes.
And then of course the cancer support community. But then also about this whole Winter Park Health Foundation grant that we're working on, you know, to make creative and innovative programming happening in visual arts and community arts organizations around. So that was really cool, but there were so many neat projects happening all over that we'll have to talk about on the show.
Sure.
One day.
And was there a biggest takeaway that you learned coming back with?
I just think that one of it was that we're not alone. I mean, really, there are some neat things happening in large and small communities. And there are some people with big ideas that are making really applicable to their neighborhoods and to their areas. And so it was just neat to, you know, I still can't find any organization exactly like us.
Yes.
But when it came to creative aging, I think it was encouraging to see how much is going on a national level. And the other thing was, when you think about creative aging, you're thinking about older adults. And what this conference was really trying to drive home was, yes, this is about older adults, but creative aging really has to start as a newborn.
Huh.
If we don't infuse the arts into the lives of kids, then it's going to be much harder to capture them when they're older.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And so the creative aging process really starts right out of the womb. Like it was, and so it kind of changed everybody's mentality on the topics of, well, this person is experiencing arts for the first time at 80 years old, but why didn't they experience it before now?
Well, you know what? I never told you this, but I was born breech birth. I came out feet first kicking, so I was tap dancing out the womb. So I did come out creative.
I could totally see you making a grand entrance like that. That's awesome. Well, and you went and saw a good show, right?
Yes,
this weekend?
West Side Story.
Woo-hoo!
Oh my goodness, at the Shakespeare Festival. Mike, can I just tell you, it was one of their, I say this every time, one of their better productions.
Yeah.
It was immersive. It was told in a way I've never seen that story told. The casting, the acting, the music, it was just beautiful.
Well, when we had them on the show, you know, they said this is the biggest thing the Shakespeare Theater has ever done. And, you know, we've heard that before, but you were there.
Yes.
You saw it.
It just took me away. Well, and everyone there was blown away by it.
I know the cast is phenomenal. So I'm glad you got to see it. Mm-hmm. I hope to see it before it closes. But if you are listening, well, you are listening, go see West Side Story. It's really a great show. And go support the Shakespeare Theater.
You're here.
And we're doing a fun show today, Mary.
I'm very excited about it.
Hidden Gems. This is episode 2 of Hidden Gems,
yes.
Where we're looking at, just for a few minutes, a couple of cool things that are happening in our community and through our community.
And, deserve to be highlighted.
That deserve to be highlighted. Mm-hmm. I agree. And so today we are talking to someone who's no longer here in Orlando, but is an Orlando-ian. How would you say that?
He previously lived here.
Yeah. And now out in Los Angeles doing some cool stuff, a friend of mine. So welcome to the show, Daniel Aaron Moore. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, Joshua. Hey, Mary. How are you doing?
Hi. Wonderful. Boy, I just learned about you today as I listened to one of your podcasts and was very impressed, Daniel.
Thank you so much.
That's a lot coming from Mary, Daniel, to have her say she's impressed. But Daniel, you created and write and draw and really have brought to life this really cool podcast called Just One Thing. And the website is justonethingpodcast.com. But tell us a little bit about it and why you thought it would be a smart thing or a wise thing to start a podcast.
Thanks. Well, earlier this year, I was going through a time period where I was working as an office temp at an insurance brokerage company, and all I was doing was putting in applications, people's applications, and listening to podcasts all day. It was very mind-numbing work. Didn't need a lot of thought to just type in the people's applications, just data entry, and it was kind of soul-sucking a little bit for me personally, very monotonous. But I was afforded the opportunity to, like, listen to a bunch of podcasts. And as I was listening to them, I started to think, I could do this. And it was at a time in my life when I didn't have a creative outlet. I had been hired to work as a writer out here earlier that year, and then things fell apart with that. But and so I was, you know, making means on my own again. And I had this creative itch. I needed to tell stories and share things that I love to share. And I realized that maybe a podcast is a great way of doing that.
That's awesome. And, you know, what I really like about your podcast is that it is not, you know, sometimes you do a leadership podcast or a podcast on the arts or even about experiences. And really, you kind of talk about the mysteries of the universe, right? I mean, you really dive into these cool subjects.
And science.
And
he
science.
He talks about
yeah.
science, but he brings it to everybody's life.
Absolutely. What are some of the topics that you might that we might see on your podcast?
Well, what I knew I wanted to talk about things that would actually interest me, let alone a potential audience. I wanted to talk about things that I'm really curious about. And one of the things I've always been curious about, even as a child, was what other people believe and what's scientific and comparing those. But also, I like to say that my podcast is a podcast. It's actually a podcast about science, pseudoscience, and esoteric ideas. And it really is that because I love.
Okay, say that one more time. Say that one more time. Those are all big words. Say it again.
Scientific and esoteric.
Yeah, it. For example, like mysteries, like one of the episodes I actually just produced an episode last week, and it's all about water memory and this idea of water consciousness. And what is that? Is that scientific? Is it pseudoscientific, like a false science? And then who believes it? And this idea of water memory is one where water retains the memory of the molecular structure of other things that it comes into contact with, whether biological or mineral. And it's kind of a far-fetched idea to a lot of people, but when so many, there's several scientists that back it up with research, they say, but there's not a lot of, then there's an equal amount or more people that believe that it's a pseudoscience, it's fake. And I like to understand why people believe that it actually is a thing.
Are you getting some good feedback from the episodes? Like, you know, as people are listening and it's stretching their imagination and their thoughts and what they might believe or don't believe, are you getting some feedback saying, hey, thanks for that episode. It really helped me, you know, think differently about that topic.
Yeah, I'm actually, it's really interesting. I like to post on Reddit sometimes. And Reddit, I don't know if you're familiar, is an online kind of where people post things that you discover on the internet and then have other people comment on it. And it can be a dangerous place sometimes because as the internet can be, but I have some people on Reddit that will message me and tell me that they really appreciated the way I gave a perspective on something. For example, I had an episode on the origins of the unicorn and where did this idea sprout from? Was there an actual creature that was a horse with like a horn on its forehead? And a lot of people really like that. They really liked that on Reddit, especially. And I think what they liked about it was that it wasn't coming from the perspective of a scientist. I don't claim to be a scientist at all or an anthropologist or any other kind of person with a PhD because I don't have one. I'm just your average Joe who goes out and does research. I actually literally do research. I'll go to even the library sometimes and look up old books here in L.A. But a majority of my research, of course, is done on the Internet. And it's so much fun. And so then I will write it in a way that I understand it and then share that with my listeners.
You also make it where, as a listener, when you ask, well, just one thing, And then you'll ask what the child in us would ask. So in a way that brings it home to us, the research you've done and the interest you have, you make us stay interested in it. Your water one reminded me of that Japanese scientist, Dr. Emoto, and his work. Are you familiar with his work? It made me think about that, how the molecular water will change if you just talk to it or if you wear a certain color around it.
Absolutely.
Who knew? Yeah. And if you're just tuning in, if you're just tuning in to Magic 107.7 FM on From the Heart with Mary Thompson Hunt and myself, Joshua Vickery, we're talking to Daniel Aaron Moore, a friend who's now out in Los Angeles doing some cool things. And he's created a podcast, JustOneThingPodcast.com. You know, and Daniel, we do our show all about the arts and community. And so definitely the literary arts is definitely part of it. But you're a little bit, your podcast is unique in that you draw cartoons that also go along with it, which is so cool. So if you have to go to JustOneThingPodcast.com just to see Daniel's drawings, because they're hilarious and I love them.
JustOneThingPodcast.com.
So Daniel, how do you start a podcast? I mean, did you just, you know, you said you got your kind of wanting to do it by just having a monotonous day, you know, and going through the routine, and you wanted something creative to do, but how did you start it?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. And this kind of goes into what you were talking a little earlier about the elderly getting into the arts. I kind of was thinking, as you were talking about that, how easy it would be for anyone of any age to create a podcast, and how interesting it might be for an older person to create a podcast themselves.
That's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Because it would be them sharing technology with their generation, which is sometimes a challenge for older people. But then it would be giving us a perspective on what people who have gone through life before us have on a medium that usually is a younger age.
What technology do you have to have, Daniel?
And here's the thing. With the podcast, honestly, it's so simple. You just have to have a decent computer that you can record and edit the audio with, and that doesn't take any skill at all. If I can do it, I'm not an audio engineer, but if I can do it, another person can do it.
And could you do it with one of the smartphones? Could you do it on an iPhone if you really needed to?
I could record audio on my iPhone for sure. If I really needed to, I could use my smartphone to record the audio.
And then you posted on iTunes, right? You posted on iTunes once you got it uploaded?
I posted onto a third-party web hosting service that will host the audio for me. And then through there, I submitted it to iTunes, which they accepted and put it up on their platform. It's also available like on Stitcher, which is another podcast platform, and Google Play.
Let me ask you,
to submit it to each of those, but...
Cool.
A question for those that are maybe interested, maybe they'll go to your podcast and listen to them and get inspired. Why is it important that you do this? And why is it important that someone might, if they have an inkling to do it, why should they?
Oh, that's a good question too. I had to do it because I'm a storyteller. I love creating things. I've always loved creating things. Since before I could write, I was drawing picture books. So it's just part of my nature, really. And why should someone do this if they have the inkling to? Because it's so constructive to have a creative outlet. What I was afraid of becoming after I was done with my previous job out here was becoming a consumer, just a consumer of everything and not a producer of anything. And I needed to find a way to produce something. And a podcast was such a constructive way of doing that. And I had all the means right here already before me. And if I just didn't take them up and use them, then what a waste. You should do it. Anyone that can should.
I love that. The biggest line is you were a consumer of everything and a producer of nothing, and now you are a producer of something.
Yeah,
I love
that. Daniel, you can't see us, but Mary and I are looking at each other going, ooh, that was good.
Yeah.
I like that. No, and I think it's good. I think you have been able to encourage people to have a creative outlet just simply in your home, at your desk. You know, I think, don't you record in your closet sometimes so it's really quiet?
Joshua, I'm actually in my closet right now.
No, come out of the closet.
No. Here's what happened. Like,
that's a whole other show, Mary.
I needed a space to record my audio, and I live in an apartment that's right next to a very busy road. So I knew I needed something that would, you know, like a sound booth. And so I had to buy some foam and put it on the walls here, and it does a really great job. I made my little makeshift cheap this sound booth I put together for probably $40, and it works like a charm.
Send us a picture, and we'll put it on where we put your post.
Absolutely. And Daniel, you're so creative, and I love how not only do you write these podcasts, you research them, and it's not, you know, for Mary and I, we come in here and have a great time because we get to talk to great guests, and we feed off their energy and their inspiration, but this is just you. This is you talking and you sharing, and I tell you, I think it's great. So go to justonethingpodcast.com. Definitely a hidden gem that you need to go and check out. And maybe Daniel Aaron Moore has inspired all of us to go start a podcast.
I'm inspired. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah,
Our
absolutely.
Pleasure. Welcome back to From the Heart. I'm Mary Thompson Hunt with my co-host Joshua Vickery. And today on our Hidden Gems, we have coming up next, representing Arceola Arts, Friends from the Laramie Project. It's their next production that will be performed from October 1st through the 10th. We have today the show director, Aisha Soto, one of the actors, Robert Rios, who's playing 10 parts out of 67. And we have Chief Operating Officer of the theater, Jeremiah Kurinchuk. Welcome, you three.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, glad you guys are here.
So tell us about the Laramie Project.
It's a production about the unfortunate tragedy of Matthew Shepard. He was a gay Wyoming student at the University of Wyoming in Laramie, Wyoming, and he was tragically murdered in 1998. And the show pretty much just revolves around several hundred interviews of the townspeople of Laramie, Wyoming, and giving us their perspective of what they feel happened during that tragedy of their town.
Mm. Boy, if this is not an amazing time to be doing this show here in our community, and we talk a lot about on our radio show about not just doing art for art's sake, but allowing it to open doors of conversation. And you guys, I'm so happy and proud that you're doing this in our community, and I'm going to get out there to see it. I love the play and what it stands for. But talk to us just a second about why, you know, especially Robert, you who's in it, why do you feel like this is so important right now?
I feel it's really important right now. Just, again, it hits so close to home as we've had the Pulse shooting and the hate crime. It really highlights that in this production. And, you know, on more levels than one, it's as relevant as ever, the division of our, you know, society today and the togetherness. And you get to see all those perspectives in this one play.
Yeah, and it really is all of the extremes in the play. I mean, there's people Correct. Who are supportive. There's people mm-hmm. who, of course, are fueling the hate crime. There's Right. people who are lying. There's people who mm-hmm. are telling the truth. I mean, mm-hmm. it really takes you all over the place as an audience member. How has it affected really all three of you, including you, Jeremiah, who's, you know, kind of leading the logistical side of the theater? But how has the message of this play resonated to you personally? What has it done in your own thoughts and hearts as you're going through this process? We'll start with you, Jeremiah.
Sure. Well, you know, I actually had a friend that I lost on the Pulse shooting. So, you know, it definitely touched close to home. And I actually went and watched the dress rehearsal last night and cried at the very end, because every message that comes through the Laramie Project was exactly some of the same messages we've heard in our community here, mm-hmm. both the people who supported everything that was going on, the people who were against what was going on. And it would just really was impactful. And like Robert said, it was just so relevant. I mean, I was like almost listening to what we were hearing 3 months ago when the Pulse tragedy happened right there in front of me.
Wow. On the website, it just gives a kind of a short synopsis. And I want to read that, Mary, because I think it's important Please. In the context of how important this play is right now. But in October 1998, a 21-year-old student at the University of Wyoming was kidnapped, severely beaten and left tied to a fence in the middle of a prairie outside Laramie, Wyoming. His bloody, bruised, and battered body was not discovered until the next day, and he died several days later in the hospital. His name was Matthew Shepard, and he was the victim of this assault because he was gay. The Laramie Project is a breathtaking collage that explores the depths to which humanity can sink and the heights of compassion of which we are capable. Mm. I get chills just reading that description. And I think you're right. It is a great parallel to what happened in our community of seeing. And I think in our community, there was more heights of compassion. Maybe I'm just blind to it, but I think there was more heights of compassion in our, as far as the response goes.
There was.
Then there was that, you know, the humanity sinking. But Matthew Shepard, you know, just a normal guy, right? Not provoking this attack simply just because he was gay.
He was 17.
He was actually 21.
21?
21.
Yeah, he was at a local bar, and it just so happened that two other, you know, local bar goers, they, you know, had a few drinks in them, were, I'm sure, a little bit inebriated, and approached him and offered him a ride home. And the tragedy of it all is that he trusted and accepted that ride home.
Wow.
From two strangers he had just met at that bar.
Wow. And so... the show opens October 1st and runs through October 10th. You can get tickets on osceolaarts.org. And I'm going to spell that for you in case you can't spell Osceola, because sometimes I have a problem with it. It's OSCEOLAarts.org. Get your tickets for that. But
did I tell you that I had an opportunity to interview and lead a Q&A for an entire day, probably about four shows, at Walt Disney World back in the 90s with Judy Shepard, Matthew's mother? And this wasn't long after it happened. She cried through the whole speech that she gave and through every Q&A. And she said, no, I'm here to share my tears because they're your tears too. And this is how I'll get through it. But the message has to be out there that we have to stop hating those that are different than us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a powerful, powerful message that this play has. What are you hoping will happen, you know, in the conversations on the ride home, or, you know, are you doing talkbacks, or how are you taking this, you know, pretty sensitive subject and making it kind of go to the living room of the audience?
I think one of the things that we're trying to do is kind of make sure that everyone really understands the correlation between the Laramie Project and what happened with Pulse. Many of the victims and families of those affected by Pulse live in Osceola County. There is a support group that Osceola County government is having active meetings with that support group. And they reached out to us and said, what can you do? This group needs love and support from the arts, and how can we maybe start an art therapy program for them in the support group? And so what we decided to do is take all of the proceeds that we make from our ticket sales and donate it to the Osceola Cares Fund, which will then in turn support the development of an art therapy program for these survivors, the family members of the victims of the Pulse tragedy. So that's really one of the important messages, and we want people to kind of walk away and understand how they can get involved, how they can give back in the community. We've reached out to all of our local organizations, the Zebra Coalition, and groups like that. So we really hope the conversation home is about how this affects us. I think before, you know, when we first picked this show last September in September of 2015, we really didn't know what
you had no idea
the relevance was going to be. And we actually questioned what we were like, is this going to be relevant? Is this really appropriate for our Black Box production? And no idea what was going to happen. And now we're so privileged to be able to use this platform to really get people engaged and to let them know how they can give back to the community, how they can support the LGBT community. And of course, it's falling right within the Gay Pride Month of October as
right.
well.
Amazing.
So it was kind of a perfect timing. And we want to take that and be responsible and make sure that the community is educated and has reason to give back.
It all lined up
perfect.
You're
listening to Magic 107.7 FM from the heart. Talk about timing. It could not be more perfect. It's kismet,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And how is it that art, seeing this in a play, in your opinion, can help healing in a way that no other way can? You've spoken of art therapy. How is it in your mind?
I mean, if you come out and see the show, you know, I felt like I had a lot of closure after the Pulse shooting, and then watching the rehearsal last night, you know, it really brought back a lot of feelings. Again, some of the same messages we heard within our own community, and that that the highs of how the world reached out to support Orlando, it really just kind of makes you realize that this is a daily conversation that we should be having about the support of not just the LGBT community, but everybody, and that the message of love is there, and that love conquers hate. So it definitely brings that to the forefront, and continues to do that. From an art therapy program, you know, I think we're excited about that and being involved in that because, you know, art has the power to heal and help people heal. And the arts community in Central Florida has done so much. And Josh, you've led the charge on that, you know. And so I think this is just another way for us to be able to utilize the arts to help people heal through different venues and mediums.
That's so well said. And again, I just applaud you. I applaud that you're doing it, but it's also so cool that you chose it way before, you know, you're not just doing it in response. This is something that was already important to you and already important to your theater community. And I just applaud you doing it. So, you know, you just said 100, is it 100% of the proceeds go? Wow. 100% of the proceeds will go to the Osceola County in the recovery efforts from the Pulse shooting. So if you're going to go see it, and we hope that you will go see it, remember that although the Osceola Arts is being so gracious, they still have costs to cover. Mm-hmm. They still have a theater to run during those times. And so be gracious in giving to them. Give above and beyond the ticket price so that so they can cover their costs, but also be able to give.
And if nothing else, the ticket. And also, do you need anything else? Do you need volunteers? Is there anything else that the theater needs?
I mean, definitely, we always love our volunteers, and we could use volunteers anytime. Volunteers, they can contact our main line to sign up for volunteering. And then, of course, you know, there's ways to get involved beyond that, whether it's memberships or season subscriptions or anything, donations, anything like that. We certainly welcome it with open arms.
You're a theater. You need everything.
Everything. Exactly.
What a question.
And you probably heard the phone ringing. That, you know, we just have a hard time keeping all the fans from calling in to Mary. That's all it is.
We're taking your calls now, right?
So, Robert, tell us a couple of the characters that you play in this play.
I play Doc O'Connor, who's a older gentleman from the East Side. I really enjoy him. Matt Galloway, who's he's very much a character, very hyperactive. From the research I've done, you know, he likes to be in the middle of everything, likes to know everything.
Who's the toughest character you have to play that's hard for you?
By far, it's Aaron McKinney, and he's one of the individuals who murdered Matthew. And it's very difficult because across from me, we have everybody's talented on that cast. But across from me, there's one scene where we're doing an interrogation, and I'm in the court hearing. And I have to hear an actor say pretty much what with Matthew's father had to say in court to the individual, which is me, Aaron, at that time. And the way he delivers that message, and it's extremely powerful. And I have to sit there.
About his loss?
Yeah, about his loss and what I took from his son. And hearing that, being a father myself of two boys, you know, even thinking about it now, I mean, it's extremely difficult, and I have to sit there and hear what I did to this man's son, and it's tough. By far the toughest character I've ever played to date, and that's the toughest one, because from there I had to transition into Matthew, who's very happy-go-lucky. So
wow.
It's, yeah, in a moment's notice, I have to transition. That's Aisha's fault, by the way. But
so you play Matthew as well?
No, Matthew is actually not in the play. It's just the townsfolks.
Oh, got it.
But I am playing one of the murderers in the cast. There's two, and I'm playing one of them, and that's the most difficult for me.
Wow. And how do you even prepare for that, Robert? How do you prepare to get into the mind and heart of a murderer?
How I prepare to get into the heart and mind of a murderer, it's... it's very difficult because I have to really isolate myself, Robert, from that person because, you know, I believe in empathy and everything. And I have to be solid. I have to be stone cold. I have to really, my mindset has to be isolated. I have to really put myself in the shoes of Aaron McKinney and just, you know, he really is just, he felt he was justified in his actions. Mm. And I have to really put myself in those shoes. But, you know, again, the way he's speaking to me, Scott, the other actor opposite of me at that time. It really gets to me as a father, and it's hard, and it hurts. It hurts me.
Aisha, what was it like guiding this cast through it? We don't have much time left, but I want to ask you that. And then also, why our audience listening right now could benefit from coming to this play?
I have to say, I think this has been one of my most challenging productions that I've directed thus far. Not only, you know, is it challenging to only have eight actors and have to have them play 67 parts, but we're also doing a very intricate style where we have the audience in the round. So the audience is literally all around the stage, and you're going to be in the show. And so I wanted the audience to be that way. I think it's more powerful to have the audience sit right there in the action. And I want them to take away the message, and the message is love conquers hate at any point.
Right. If someone's living downtown Orlando, how long does it take to get to your theater in Osceola?
Approximately 30, maybe 45 minutes.
And why is it worth the trip?
The show is fantastic, the cast is fantastic, and the message is beyond words.
Well, Aisha, we applaud you for taking on such a powerful play at this time in our community. I know you probably have had moments in being alone of thinking through how you're going to portray this. So I can't wait to see it, Mary. This is one of those we need to go see together,
really,
especially
like
since you experienced it in such a real way. So go out and see the Laramie Project. Support, because 100% of the ticket sales is going to go to a great cause. OsceolaArts.org. Say hello to Jeremiah and to Robert and to Aisha. Tell them that you heard about it on From the Heart. Mm-hmm. And go support. Go support this show October 1st through the 10th.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for being here.
And come back. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
Welcome back, everyone, to From the Heart. We're here at Magic 107.7. And when I say we're, I mean myself, Mary Thompson Hunt, and my astute, sagacious, and erudite co-host, Joshua Vickery.
Those were such good words, Mary. I'm so impressed.
They describe you, my friend. I'm so happy that on this segment of our Hidden Gems that we have the founder and artistic director of Kanga Girl, Miss Margaret Nolan, Kanga Girl Productions.
Yay.
Here she is.
Thank you guys so much, Mary and Josh. And those are great words, the way you described your co-host. That's love right there.
That is love.
So yep. I'm very excited to learn about your production coming up, After Orlando. Tell us about that.
Okay, so After Orlando is actually a global theater action comprised of 70 plays by playwrights from all around the world, award-winning and emerging voices, and includes 10 playwrights from here in Orlando. That was added sort of later on. This has been an effort that was started by Kardad Svich, who's an Obie Award-winning playwright, and Blair Baker and Zach Klein from Missing Bolts Production. They've done other theater actions that resulted in multiple plays, multiple venues, and they will be published in an anthology. So our writers will be able to be published in an anthology. And so the particular evening, October 17th, which will be at the Mandel Theater at the Shakespeare Festival Center here in Orlando, is a curated selection from the 70 plays, but it will include all of the Orlando plays and then some from the international collection.
How long will it be?
They're 3 minute. I should say this. They're 3 minute plays. They're short.
I was gonna
so
say.
I know.
Bring a sleeping bag.
No, it will be about 2 hours.
Okay.
But what I've done is from the collection, I've tried to pick pieces that were lyrical and poetic, pieces that were devised. There's original music. We also are going to be showing a short film by Thomas Thorsbecken and underscored with music that was written and recorded here called City Song. So it's sort of a grassroots. It's not just the plays. We're sort of adding
It's a sampling of the different arts done, each about 3 minutes, contributing to a montage of what has been written?
Yes.
Wow.
Pretty much, yes. But this, After Orlando is this global theater action that was started, and I sort of just jumped on board with it to be a presenter, and then I asked if we could provide some plays because art, we have such a vibrant, such a talented theater community here in Orlando, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure some people know that, but I really wanted our writers to be represented, not only because it happened here, but they have a unique point of view because it happened here. And we just have writers that I think...
Who are some that you're proud of that you got on board?
So David Lee is one. And Dennis Giacchino. And we have Daryl Pickett and David McElroy.
I love all these people you've named so far. That's great. Any gals?
Aradhana Tiwari.
Oh, Aradhana.
Yep. And Rose Helsinger.
Okay, now I've got to come.
Yeah, so it's actually written, I mean, we have pieces that are written by, you know, high schoolers and you know, young adults.
Wow.
And I wanted a real mix of voices. You know, I wanted to sort of represent, from the Orlando perspective, a representation of different voices.
And have you directed this besides producing?
No, I've got David Lee, John Connon, and Rob Ward, who are going to be directing some of the pieces. And we have Peg O'Keefe reading the stage direction.
Wow.
So another press release will go out with all, I had to get all the equity paperwork signed and whatever, so that we can use a few of our actors or our equity. But the list of actors, I think we have like 30 actors. Jim Braswell, Janine Klein, Marty Stonerock.
Some of the best in town.
Chris Robeson. Yeah, it's lovely, and it came together very quickly and very organically, so not a lot was put out there. You know, I invited some writers because I had a very quick turnaround. So we didn't audition, we didn't do all that, we just grabbed people, and I know that we collectively might be in sort of a compassion fatigue kind of place, and I can totally understand that with all the benefits and whatever, but this is different. These pieces were written directly in response, and it's an international response. So I think it's going to be very different from, you know, some of the other things that we've done. And I might add that these plays are being presented in a rolling premiere in right now 40 venues all over the world. And I think we're about the fifth one to present. All over the world. They're doing them in Canada. Every day there's a new venue that's being announced, and you can find all this information on www.kangagirl.com.
KangaGirl.
Kanga Girl, like kangaroo, but Kanga Girl. Anyway, so I made this a different sort of event than what's taking place all over, which are mostly play readings for free to the public. And I decided since this happened here, let's make it a benefit. So it is a ticketed event. It's for pulseoforlando.org. One Orlando Fund will already have been dispersed.
Yes.
I did my due diligence and checked out a lot of funds and looked at some of our wonderful, wonderful community service organizations in town, but landed on Pulse of Orlando because they are writing checks directly to displaced employees and victims and survivors. It's augmenting some of the other good work that One Orlando and One Pulse Foundation is doing. But they're very grassroots. They're all here. They're all volunteer. So I went with them. So it is a benefit. The important thing is it's the playwright's response. Orlando playwrights are involved.
Orlando actors.
And Orlando actors, Orlando directors. Zach Klein, one of the co-creators of this whole project, will be here as a guest and will be here for any questions. We're not doing specifically a talk back, but he will be here help introduce.
Will he introduce the night to the audience that shows
and
up?
And he'll answer some questions because I know the immediate response sort of was, why are all these other people writing about this? But After Orlando really is about not just Pulse, but what's happening writ large in our universe with gun violence and with, just
and also
grief.
Hate crimes, too. As you know, we just spoke to Osceola, who's doing the Laramie Project, and it's a theme that needs to be addressed.
It is a theme. We're in a very interesting place, I think, as a collective consciousness. There's a lot of grief and just things we're becoming, you know, inured to shootings and killings, and it's a very sad state. And I don't know if it's an increase in media, you know, coverage, or it's an increase of frequency in the events, but it's definitely, and I think that combined with the election season has given us this veil of heaviness.
Yeah, boy, we could talk about that for days, couldn't we? well, if you're just turning in here to Magic 107.7 FM from the Heart with Mary Thompson Hunt, myself, Joshua Vickery, we're talking to Margaret Nolan, a local artistic director and producer with Kenga Girl Productions, and we're talking about After Orlando. That's going to be happening on October the 17th. And I just wanted to mention quickly, you know, you said that the word compassion fatigue.
I was just going to say
that. You were
going to
say that.
Yes.
But, you know, what I love about this is that, yes, it is for the audience, and yes, it is for the fundraising, but part of it is the healing for the artists,
you know,
to use their art to
heal. You just
gave me
chills when you said that.
Yeah, but it's true. You know, and it's continually happening. You know, Opera Orlando just did a big benefit at the Dr. Phillips Center, and I got to produce that Beautiful Together, where we brought some artists together. But you're now giving playwrights a chance who might not have had that platform throughout this healing process to be able to use their gifts and their talents and their abilities and say, I was able to give back in some small way.
Exactly.
So I applaud you. I think
I'm
it's so awesome that you're doing
that
this.
I'm so glad you brought that up too, Joshua, because when you said, I know we are experiencing Orlando fatigue or compassion fatigue. No, I think that compassion helps heal. And I don't think there's fatigue of that. I think fatigue is from when we haven't had a chance to really let it go.
Yeah.
And there's no really letting it go, but to process where we're at so that there's room to fill up more and let that run through us.
Well, also, you know, we don't have much time, so it's hard to really grasp how big this night is. I mean, Margaret, this is huge that you've been able to kind of dive into this global theatrical playwright experience and response, and that you were able to, you know, it's kind of funny to me that it's called After Orlando, and at first maybe they didn't. I don't know if they didn't reach out to playwrights here, or but you were able to connect. So thank you for that.
I literally just jumped on it and took a chance, and so I feel very not protective of the event, but they've entrusted me, you know, to
it's a responsibility,
the respect and dignity and you know the sacredness of what this whole event is, and they've written some really wonderful quotes in the press release I sent out, which I can't quote verbatim right now, but. You know, theater holds space for healing and grief, and it's a shared collective way. And we've all been there if we've been in the audience for things where it's a dialogue, it's a living, breathing
relationship.
It really is. And you know, it's not all sad, the pieces. Mm-mm. So what I tried to do is program an evening of it's not gonna be all sad stuff. There's joyous pieces, there's music, there's Josh, when you put together that evening of Beautiful Together, you wanted some of it to be extremely hopeful and uplifting and, you know, solemn and poignant, but you have to take
there was
the
beauty that came out of the night, the beauty of watching how many people found something to give that came out and gave that never thought they would but saw the humanity in it.
Our Orlando playwrights all said, I didn't even know I needed to write about this until I started to write about
it. Whoa, that's
huge. I don't want to start crying on the air, but it was extremely cathartic. And, you know, a lot of us or most of us weren't there. And some of us may tangentially know people or directly know people, but it doesn't even matter. This is a humanistic thing. This is a shared.
And it was
experience.
Shared globally. I went to all of our vigils we had downtown, and I remember hearing from our mayor reading letters from presidents of countries like Belgium and Holland and around the world who wrote to Orlando. Like, oh my God, it just blew us away that so many people around the world felt what we were feeling.
Right. It is weird that you read this and it's about us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're so used to seeing it everywhere else.
Yeah.
So the film, I forgot to mention, the little short film that Thomas Thorsbecken did, it premiered at the Global Peace Film Festival last weekend or weekend before. And what it is essentially are the 49 portraits that he's been sort of...
Yes, I've been reading about that.
So it's that, and it's underscored with this music written by Shad Pearson and a whole bunch of other musicians in town called City Song. And so I wanted to
will this
add
air
that
right
into
before
the, evening.
The play.
Yeah, well, it will probably be right after intermission. We're still working out the details.
Okay, sorry, I'm glad I brought that up.
We're still working out the show flow because
you got plenty of time. It's October 17th.
Oh no! This has been an every day,
oh,
like
yes.
22 hours out of the day kind of a thing.
That's the artist
but
process.
But it's you know, everybody's doing this from a huge place, from everybody's heart, and I know that there's still a lot of logistics to work out and to nail down, but I think at the end of the day, it is the words and that shared theater experience that I hope people will come see. It's just hard to get the word out because of all of the other things that are going on, including the elections. You know, we can't go up against, I hope that there's not going to be another debate that night. Or that people can set their DVRs.
Set your DVR and
because
go
I don't
want to
have to go
this.
Up against.
Well, so it's happening on October 17th, this experience, but then also November 3rd through the 6th as part of the Shakespeare Theater's
yes.
Playfest, it's kind of being revitalized and we'll hear some more readings,
there's
right, Margaret?
There's going to be some other pieces read as well. And on that, for Playfest, they will have Karadad Switch there as a guest. So between the two events, you know, the Orlando theater community can hear from both of the co-creators, and they're quite published and quite out there. I not only can they pull together 70 playwrights in a few weeks, but they if you go to nopassportpress.org, you'll see all of the other compendiums and anthologies of plays that they've put together with contributions from all over. And
no
I might
passportpress.org. I wish we had more time to hear.
I know, Margaret, we're going to have to have you back because there's so much more to talk about the work that you're doing in our community. But definitely please go check out After Orlando on October the 17th at 7:30 at the Shakespeare Theater. You can go to kangagirl.com to get your tickets and to learn more about it. But thank you, Margaret, for giving all of these creative people an opportunity to respond. And go out and check out all the wonderful art that's happening in our community, orlandoatplay.com. There's so many neat things happening, Mary.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be able to go out and experience some
Joshua,
of it this
another
week.
Another pleasure spending an afternoon with
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, my friend. We'll see you next week on From the Heart, Magic 107.7 FM.
Bye-bye.